This episode is brought to you in part by Aesthetics by Sophia, Iron Shoe Distillery, and Campbell Ford. Campbell Ford in Niles, Michigan wants to be your newer used car dealer. With an exceptionally large selection, we ship all over the country. We specialize in new and used Ford trucks and SUVs. Check out our website at www.campbellfordniles.com. See why it will be worth your time to have the truck or SUV of your dreams shipped straight to your door. Small town prices and big city selection is what makes Campbell Ford your first stop when looking for the best deal on a new or used Ford vehicle. Again, visit us at www.campbellfordniles.com.
They think we're lazy.
They think we're weak-willed.
They think we're entitled.
They think we're selfish.
They think we don't care about anybody but ourselves.
We are compassionate.
We are resourceful.
We are capable.
We want to make a difference in the world.
We are underestimated.
Four o'clock rolls around. If they're not home, he said, we'll take it from there.
At 4:05 on November 26, 2010, Andrew Alexander and Tanner Skelton were reported missing by their mother, Tanya Zuvers, and vanished without a trace. The boys were last seen with their father, John Skelton, and his account of the events that transpired left investigators with more questions than answers. The small town of Morenci, Michigan was shaken to their core as the investigation seemed to run cold. My name is Alexandra. My group and I have been tasked to investigate a cold case in Michigan and create a podcast about it. Let's take a minute to introduce you to our group.
Hi, my name is Emily.
Hi, I'm Shay.
Hi, my name is Tiffany.
Hi, my name is Miley.
Hi, my name is Adeline.
Hi, my name is Cheyenne.
Under the direction of our teacher, Bob Ruff of the Truth and Justice podcast, we're carefully conducting our investigations and gathering evidence to possibly advance the status of the cases. We will discuss the details of their disappearance, the investigation that followed, what is to come, and try to fathom what happened to these young boys and who is responsible. Listen as we discuss the chilling circumstances of this case that have led investigators to dead end after dead end.
When attempting to find a case or two to research for this season, we looked at multiple databases connected to the state of Michigan. We all knew we wanted to cover a case that involved many unknown things, and there was just a lot of that. We had come across many cases that had gone cold years ago with little to no law enforcement follow-up, and it was extremely difficult and very time-consuming to pick up a case that we knew we would be able to get enough information on.
The case seemed open and shut at the beginning, but as we began to dig deeper, the stories all began to intertwine. Something about cases involving children is incredibly gut-wrenching, especially in situations like this one. Tanner, Alexander, and Andrew were all innocents who were displaced from their family, and their fate is still unknown.
The twisting turns that made up John Skelton's story initially intrigued us and led us to dive deeper into this case. Mentions of the Amish, secret underground organizations, and unidentifiable individuals led us in circles chasing a conclusion.
Because he claimed at one time that he gave them to someone and they have them. One of the times it was Amish, which we have talked to the Amish in our area extensively, and they said no one, no Amish that we know, no one would take three boys and hide them. I have always said that they would, given the opportunity, they all were so outspoken that they would have said, this is not my mom, this is not my dad, something's not right. They would have tried to tell someone at some point, maybe not right away, but I feel in my heart that eventually they would have, because they would make friends with old people in Walmart or the person in line behind us at Walmart. They never met a stranger.
This case is absolutely solvable, and through a combination of media coverage and new discoveries, we'll be able to locate the boys. These details set this case apart from the others and give us a glimmer of hope that we will give Andrew, Alexander, and Tanner the justice they deserve.
On the morning of Friday, November 26, 2010, Tanya Zuvers expected to pick up her three young boys who had spent Thanksgiving holiday with her father, her estranged husband, John Skelton. She messaged John requesting to pick up the boys from his house earlier that day, but he claimed that they had slept over at a friend's house, and that he didn't have a phone number for the person who had the boys. Try not to worry, Tanya continued to follow up with John throughout the day with very little feedback.
I had messaged John Skelton earlier in the morning and said, listen, I'd like to get the boys earlier if possible. Is there any way we can work that out? And he's like, well, I let them spend the night with a friend. They were getting along very well with their children and they wanted to stay the night. So I let them because I'm doing some work around the house. I said, well, is there any way you can get a hold of them to see if they can bring them back to you sooner? And he just kept stringing me along all day.
As the day continued, Tanya's concerns grew and were only heightened by a call from John around 2 p.m.
2:30 that day, and he told me that he didn't have her phone number with him, that he was on his way to the hospital because he fell off a ladder and he think he broke his foot, and he didn't know when the boys would be there. So here's another story. He's been telling me different stories all day long. So I call my attorney. I said, what do I do? And he said, well, just let it play out. We'll see, you know, if 4 o'clock rolls around, if they're not home.
Anxiously, Tanya waited another hour and 30 minutes for any sign of her boys. And when 4 o'clock rolled around, they were still nowhere to be found. At 4:05, Tanya called the police to report a custody agreement violation, but since the city of Morenci was quite small, officers were tied up with a different case, therefore they were unable to respond promptly. Since the two were still legally married at the time, Tanya began to receive information about John's current hospitalization, and the story began to diverge.
The nurse said to me, well, your estranged husband is here because he claims that he tried to commit suicide and the rope broke. And he's not going anywhere. And I'm like, excuse me? He did what?
John had a different excuse for every happening that had occurred that day. His claims about the boys' location included with the Amish, with an underground group that would protect them from their mother, with his friend Joanne Taylor, and numerous others. At 5:30, after no police presence, Tanya's father drove down to the police station to speak with the officer who had been called about the issue. He'd only been told to call Tanya at some point, but he was not aware of the dire situation. The two raced to John's house and were forced to kick in the door because it had been wedged shut from the inside. Once they entered the house, the scene before them was an unruly mystery.
I think it was about 5:30 finally. My dad drove by the police station and the police officer was there, and so he stopped and he said, oh, the message that was given to me was to just get a hold of Tanya at some point tonight. It wasn't, didn't say that it was anything urgent. And my dad's like, no, John is at the hospital, claims he tried to kill himself, and the boys are nowhere to be found.
We would like to thank Second & Main Coffee House and Wine Bar for sponsoring this episode of Skelton Brothers. On behalf of Underestimated, we are so appreciative of their generous sponsorship and support in our mission to make a difference in the world. Second & Main Coffee Shop, located in downtown Niles, offering a variety of wonderful flavored coffees, lattes, and cappuccinos, etc. On top of this, the Second & Main Coffee Shop allows you to pick from what kind of milk you would like with your beverage, like whole milk, 2%, and skim. For 75 cents more, you can get almond milk, half and half, and oat milk. Before I get to school, I like to stop by and get their delicious iced snickerdoodle latte with almond milk. If you are not a huge coffee fan, they offer cold-pressed juices and refreshers as well. From raspberry to blueberry lemonade, they are bound to have something suited for your taste. I definitely recommend the Berry Patch Refresher, and if you're hungry, try their queso. It is a delicious cherry queso with Chihuahua cheese served hot. as well as an artesian toast. The Second and Main coffee shop is the perfect spot if you want to sit and relax and enjoy a quiet atmosphere. And Second and Main has a great deal just for our listeners. If you head to Second and Main during the month of March and mention Underestimated, you get 10% off of your order. Head to Second and Main and get 10% off when you mention Underestimated. Thank you, Second and Main Coffee House, for helping us make a difference in the world.
So he immediately raced to John's house, and he had just cause to basically kick in the back door because the doors were all locked or jammed shut, where they had like a few before wedged against something so the doors wouldn't open. And they found the house in complete disaster. Things were shattered, broken, tore, extension cords, Christmas lights, all cut into 6-8 inch sections, a solid oak curio cabinet, glass and mirrored shelves, shattered, broken, TVs smashed. I mean, mattresses cut where he had taken a knife and cut like 6-inch gashes over the whole mattress. Furniture cut or broke. I mean, it's just everything you could think of. He did.
Police Chief Larry Weeks, who was out of town at the time, was contacted, and he immediately packed up and came home to speak with Tanya. Larry began to brief Tanya for the whirlwind that was yet to come.
Then the officer contacted the police chief, who was out of town with his family for the holiday, and he immediately packed up, came home. We met around 1:32 in the morning, so that would have been like Saturday the 27th. And he wanted to just touch base, he said, because the next time that we see each other, it's going to be chaos here because we have FBI on the way. And tomorrow morning, our town is going to look completely different, and we may not get one-on-one time. They had issued an Amber Alert the evening before. So that's pretty much, that was that day. That's how that all came about, and how I discovered that he had done something with them. To this day, he has yet to admit any wrongdoing.
Chief Weeks didn't buy John Skelton's stories, and he knew something was deeply wrong. He issued an Amber Alert right away to try and use the public to gain any information about the boys. Chad Scheisler, Morenci Fire Chief, brought together 25 volunteers to conduct their search. Volunteers started by mapping out their search area and combing through the woods, vacant parking lots, and parks. The Lanawee County deputies surveyed back roads north of the Ohio state line, while the Fulton County deputies surveyed the south. Investigators were spread thin over the rugged terrain, and they searched for hours on end. It was clear that the longer the search went on, the more the fear arose about the fate of the young boys.
As the search continued that day, Weeks' communication with investigators seemed to point to dead ends, so they decided to stop looking and continue in the morning. After obtaining a warrant for John's home and electronic, Morenci police found no evidence of Joanne Taylor, as well as a cryptic message posted on Facebook late that Thursday evening that said, "May God and Tanya forgive me." The seizure of John's phone records also brought to light the fact that John's blue Dodge Caravan was driven from the Ohio Turnpike through Holiday City in West Unity Thursday evening, so detectives focused their searches on that area.
From there, the police deployed aerial surveillance and dogs on the ground around Holiday City and pasted Have You Seen Me posters all over the Morenci area. At this point in the investigation, John Skelton was being kept in the hospital and claimed that he couldn't remember what happened to the boys, but he could note that he had a dream about them at an abandoned schoolhouse in Conkle, Ohio. He also made a note of a dumpster behind the Ramada Inn in Holiday City. This was significant because in 2007, John had written a poem about a child who had been abandoned in a dumpster and what he thought about as he died.
With that gut-wrenching information, police searched around and had the FBI take the cadaver dog team to the landfill and search there. On the other hand, they switched gears to having the Angola firefighters from Steuben County to use sonars to scan on the St. Joseph River. They solely relied on the scans. Also, there were divers there, but they didn't dress up to get in and recover anything. They also had a search party of 200 people to scan the local terrain for the boys. Everyone was, and still, is very hopeful for the returning of the boys and getting them back home.
We are using both the cadaver dog as a search tool to potentially locate any type of material. Also using the side-scan sonar out in this pond. Attempt to locate any larger type objects in the pond, kind of also give us an idea of what the layout of the bottom looks like.
While we have progressed greatly with this case, there's still more to be uncovered. In our upcoming episode, we will discuss more evidence and share even more about this baffling case. As we continue, we will go into more detail about our communications with John and his various explanations of the situation. We are working to eventually pick apart the information we have obtained and explain what more we need to further pursue this case. Among the swarms of uncertainty and deception. With this case, there were many times where we felt like we were hitting dead ends and struggling to find leads to follow. As far as our continuation of this case, we are hoping that unheard audio from Tanya and emails from John will allow for more insight from the public. Hopefully, we are able to broadcast this case to an intrigued audience and ultimately find justice for Andrew, Alexander, and Tanner.
Underestimated podcast, Skelton Brothers, was researched, written, and produced by Alexandra, Miley, Adeline, Tiffany, Emily, Cheyenne, and Shay. Intro music by Haley. All other music by Shane Yoder. Our show artwork was created by Chelsea, and our series artwork was created by Emily. The Underestimated podcast is a production created in the Brandywine Community Schools Broadcasting CTE program. We want to thank you for listening, and a huge thank you to our community sponsors for supporting us and helping to fund our work. Please make sure to leave us a review on your favorite podcast player, and we will be back next week with another episode of Underestimated.